Jews had moved to different parts of the world, and in particular to Alexandria, and that because they were out there, they needed the Bible in their own language. And so it actually evolves over a period of time. It's not a very quick, immediate translation process. But the end result is that we have the first, not just Greek Bible, the first Greek version of the Old Testament, but very important to scholars, we have the first translation of the Hebrew into another language. You see, before that, it had always been in the Hebrew, and it had always been kept that way. Now, though, there are Septuagint scholars and others who actually look at this question, which is, if you have a verse in the Hebrew that says this, and we know the Hebrew, and they translate it to be this in the Greek, and we know the Greek, and that might be different than how we might have rendered it in the English, then you start to sort of triangulate a question as to why it might have been this way. Let me give you just the most famous case, which is at the in Isaiah, when it says at the Christmas season that unto us a child is born, and it talks about being born of a virgin. Well, the word virgin is the Septuagint's choice in the matter. They use the word virgin, which is an explicit comment about the sexual relationships. This woman has not had anything. In the Hebrew, though, of course, there is the language of that she is a young girl. Not explicitly a virgin, though, of course, it's at least perhaps implied. But the Septuagint took the word young woman, young girl, and made it more explicit that she was a virgin. And of course, that's an important reality when Matthew refers to this as a virgin shall be with child. And that is mentioned explicitly in the Gospels. So what does that matter for us? Does it matter to us that there was an Old Testament that was translated into the Greek? And if so, how did it dramatically shape our Bibles? Or did it shape our Bibles much at all? Is it just something that scholars care about? Well, on two points in particular, the Septuagint translation changed the Bible that you and I have in modern English versions. And the first point is that they changed the arrangement of the books. You'll recall in our last lecture, we were talking about the Old Testament, and we were talking about how the arrangement into the Tanakh is different than the Bibles that you and I have. The first major difference is in the arrangement of the books. So you go from the Jewish conception of it, which is the Tanakh, as we were talking about in our previous lecture, which is that you have the Torah, which is the same, but that in the next section, in the prophets, that from Joshua on, all the way up until the end of those books, you don't have some of the books that we're used to being there, like Ruth and Chronicles. Those occurred in the writings, the third section of the Jewish Hebrew canon. When the Septuagint begins to be developed, they seem to have considered it only natural to move those books up to the front. And they moved Ruth then up to the point in the chronology where she probably belongs. They also moved Chronicles up to the writings as well, because it only made sense. Having it far off in the latter section doesn't make any sense. Move them up to the prophets. And so that the Septuagint begins to make these shifts. They also make a unique shift, which made Daniel seem to kind of float out there by itself, which is that if you take some of those writings like Chronicles and move them up, where does Daniel go? Because Daniel's clearly a prophet book. It's a prophecy. But where does he fit? Well, the Septuagint at one point had him at the very end of the very last. So you'd have all of the major prophets and then all the 12 minor prophets, and Daniel would be at the end of that after the 12. What then happened, though, is that made a lot of sense in terms of chronology, but it also didn't make sense in terms of the fact that the prophets, both the major prophets and the 12, were out of order from Daniel. So eventually, in the later Vulgate version, Daniel gets jumped up in front of the 12 so that he seems to not make any sense whatsoever where he sits. But the idea was to move him forward because after Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, after the language of the exile coming, it made sense to have Daniel there as the prophet during the exile. But you can see there's an arrangement shift. Now, it's a benign change, at least in many ways.